I was afraid. I was 12 years old and I was not fast. Still not fast, but I was not fast. I was a slow runner and I'm running away from this dude who is chasing me and he's trying to hurt me. Like, he's gonna mess me up bad. And so here I am wishing I was in better shape, wishing I was a little bit lighter, wishing I could run faster. And finally, as he's getting closer and I could like feel him about to grab a hold of me, I bust through a door, slam the door behind me, and I try to hold the door. But this guy's strong. And so he starts pushing on the door and he is trying to get to where I am. And so turns out I'm not that strong either. And so I'm holding the door and my feet are slipping back, and he's pushing in and my heart's just like, oh gosh, I'm gonna die, literally. And that's where I always woke up. That's the point of the dream where I would wake up and realize I am slow and I am weak, and if somebody wanted to hurt me, they could totally do it. Now, sometimes our fears leave the world of our imagination, right, of just our dreams, and they can enter into our real life and begin to take over our real world. And so I don't know what you're afraid of. Maybe you're just afraid of a monster underneath the bed, or maybe you have some real worry, anxiety, fear with your health, with politics, with the future, with family, with what's happened in the past. With your finances, whatever those fears might be, man, we all have those things that are knocking at the door and they're always trying to come in, take over our lives, take over our minds, and melt our hearts. And you know what I'm talking about right now. If you're a person who is dealing with worry and anxiety and just the paralyzing factor of fear, man, it can really shut you down. And it can really make you feel slow and weak and unable to accomplish much. And it could be the first thing on your mind every day when you wake up. We don't want that to be the case. And so today we are starting a new sermon series called When I Am Afraid, because that is the truth. At some point, all of us, no matter how big and no matter how brave we are, we all deal with fear, and you might be dealing with it right now. Do me a huge favor. This is a big part of the day right here. I just want you right now, if you're on Church Online, Facebook, maybe if you're on YouTube, you might be able to find the chat feature there, but just type there in the chat, I'm dealing with it. If that's you right now, you might say, hey, I'm good. Right now, I'm all right. But hey, in the last week or two, I've been dealing with worry, anxiety, fear. Just type it right there. I'm dealing with it. Put that out there. Let us know because we want to be able to affirm that you're going through that. We also want to pray with you and allow God to do a work in your heart as we start this series today. We're in Psalm chapter 56, all right? And so go ahead and turn in your copy of the scriptures with me. While you're doing that, I will tell you this, that Psalms is the songbook of the Bible. The Psalms are really the songs that Jesus sang, right? They are the poetry that Jesus memorized and read and recited. And so when we sing the Psalms or say the Psalms, we're singing the songs that Jesus sang. And so we want to be those people that are doing that. And the Psalms are great for all kinds of things, right? They're great for all kinds of emotions. And so as you pick up your Bible and you read the Psalms, you'll see that they are good for lamenting, that they are good for praising, for worshiping. They are good for when you are in depression. They are good for when you're meh, when you're just so-so. And they are good for when you are afraid, because they help us put words to our emotions, and they help us to shape the way that we think and the way that we feel, and therefore the way that we act. And so we want the Psalms, the Word of God, to shape our thoughts on how we fear and how we worry and how we deal with our anxiety. Let me pray for you right now. Jesus, for those who have even typed in the chat right now, I'm dealing with it. Or maybe they just said it quietly to themselves. I'm dealing with it. Lord, I pray right now that through your word, we give this day to you, God. We pray that through your word that you would shape our minds, that you would transform us, that you would shape us more to be the image of your Son, God, that you would pour your peace into our hearts that are anxious, worried, fearful, even totally paralyzed. Yet, God, right now we know that your word is more powerful than those feelings. And so, God, replace our fear with faith. We give this day to you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, Psalm 56 is attached to 1 Samuel chapter 21. King David wrote this psalm, and he wrote it in response to something that was going on in his life. And so I'm going to ask you today to write something down as well. So go ahead and get a pencil, piece of paper ready, because you're going to be writing, you're going to be engaging. This is not just a one-way conversation, okay? Wake up. There on the couch. I see you slumping. Sit up. So what's going on in 1 Samuel is this. David is rocking and rolling, right? 1 Samuel chapter 17. Read it later, not right now. But 1 Samuel chapter 17, David is one brave dude. What has he done? He's just killed Goliath, like the monster, right? David's like, hey, I killed a lion. I killed a bear with a slingshot. And I ain't afraid of no giant. And so he's brave when everybody else is fearful and trembling. Kills the giant. Then chapter 18, boom, David and Jonathan become best friends. King Saul, his son's name is Jonathan. Him and David connect. They're great friends. But he realizes that David has been anointed by the prophet Samuel and that he will eventually take the throne. What happens in chapter 19, 20? Well, King Saul gets angry. He is not happy that David is going to be king and not his son. And so he actually tries to kill David. The Bible says that he tried to throw his javelin or his spear at him and pin him to the wall. And so David in chapter 20 takes off running. He is scared. And I'm confident that he was way faster than me because he got away. But this wasn't a dream. This was reality. And so he is on the run. He's by himself. He's all alone with his thoughts, with his worries, with his fears. He's hungry, and he stops by to see a priest to get some bread, and then he says, hey, have you got any weapons around here? Because I took off quick. I got nothing to protect myself. And they said, hey, man, the only thing we got is the sword that you took from Goliath when you killed him, and it's hidden back here. Boom, went and got the sword of Goliath, and he took off running again. King Saul hot on his heels. You're not going to believe this. Where did he go? David was so scared for his own life, even though God had assured him and anointed him that he would be king and that his future was secure in Christ and in his kingdom. He left that kingdom and went to another kingdom. He went to Gath, where Goliath was from. Now, if you have recently killed Goliath, the last place you probably want to go is where Goliath's family lives because they're giants and they could hurt you. But when you are worried and afraid, guess what? A lot of times you're not thinking right. Your thinking's all messed up. You're not living in reality. And so he goes there. Chapter 21, verses 10 through 15. You got to check this out. Goes to Gath and they're like, wait a second. Isn't this the guy? Like, isn't this the guy that killed Goliath? Isn't this the guy who just recently they were singing in the streets and saying, hey, King Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. And they're like, yeah, that's the guy. And David realizes he's in trouble. He's surrounded. He's captured by the Philistines. So what does he do? He pretends like he's crazy, like he's gone mad. The Bible says that he acts like a madman. And he starts drooling all over his beard. It's right there. The Bible is cool. It's got all kinds of weird, crazy stories. Sometimes truth is stranger than fiction. So he's writing on the walls, drooling on the beard, acting crazy. And they're like, you know what? Let's get this guy out of here. Let him go. He's obviously lost his mind. The trick works. He takes off running again and goes and hides in a cave. And I believe that that is where he then writes down Psalm 56. Today we're going to cover four verses, and the title of today's sermon, as you're taking notes, is this: Confronting Our Fear. All right? Confronting our fear, not just running away from it, but confronting it. And how are we going to do that? How are we going to confront our fears? Well, step number one that you're going to do is confess your mess. All right? So what does David do in Psalm 56? He does this. Verse 1, be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me all day long. An attacker oppresses me. These guys are coming for me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? Boom. So the first thing we see here in verse 1 is this, is that when it comes to facing our fears, what we really need to do, step 1, is confess our mess. What do I mean by that? Well, David, right here in these verses, says, first and foremost, be gracious to me, O God. He cries out to God. He calls out to God. And so if you've already this morning acknowledged that you're struggling with some fear, with some worry, with some anxiety, confess your mess. Cry out to God. Say, God, I need you. I can't fix this. If I could have, I would have, but I can't. So please, I need you. I am calling on your mercy. I'm calling on your grace that I do not deserve. I'm asking for your unmerited favor. God, show favor upon me and help me to overcome the situation that I am in. But even if I don't overcome in the situation, help me to overcome the fear that I am struggling with right now in my heart and in my mind. So do this. Call out to God. Too many times we call out to everybody else. We phone a friend. We text a buddy. We find somebody else who's going through the same thing we are, and we want to talk it out. And all the while, God is sitting here waiting, going, hey, I got you. I made you. I know how your heart works. I know how your mind works. I made it. I designed you, and I see the big picture, the situation. And so what we want to do first and foremost as believers is call out to God, cry out to him, rely on him completely to remedy our minds and our hearts, and don't just rely on other human beings. So he says that, be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. Let's stay engaged there in the chat. If this is you, I want you to confess your mess. I want you to cry out to God right now. Just type it right there in the chat. God, I need your help. Go ahead. I'm going to give you some space here. God, I need your help. I don't know about you, but that could be hard to type and maybe even harder to say, because when you're in a dark spot, you don't always want to tell people. You don't always want people to know that you're going through something. You want to go hide in a cave. But what you need to do is just make it public and say, God, be gracious to me. God, I need your help. Step one, confess your mess. And he begins to just pour it out on God. What does he say? For man tramples on me. God, I need you. You are high and lifted up. You are the mighty one. And down here below, there are men who are trampling on me, who are stepping on me, who are squashing me, who are killing me. And they are just walking all over me, and I can't do anything about it. I'm outnumbered. And so I am calling completely on you. My enemies, verse 2, trample me all day long. So when you're crying out to God, just tell him how you're really feeling. That, man, there are people coming after me. They're saying wrong things about me. They're doing wrong things against me. These are people that I thought I could trust, and now they have turned against me, and my heart is broken, and I just want to go hide in a cave. And not only are they doing that, but it seems like it is all day long. And when you're going through it, it's something that pops up in your mind all day, isn't it? You're trying to get work done, boom, that thought keeps coming back. You're trying to spend time with your family, your heart is hurting and broken, you're out of sorts, and you can't be all there where you need to be. And so he just is putting it all out there and confessing his mess. Let me get you to do this. Not only type it in the chat, but I want you to get a piece of paper, and today I want you to confess your mess. Just say, God, I'm dealing with it, I'm going through it, and I'm going to write it down. What are the things that I'm dealing with? And let's name those fears, because sometimes when we verbalize those things and we call them out to God, it takes the power out of them, because we realize that we are talking to the God of the universe who has created everything. And then when we cry out to him with our problems, those problems do not seem so big, because our God is huge and man is small. And so he keeps on going. All day long, an attacker oppresses me. Not only did he have real life physical attackers oppressing him, but we also know as believers that we have a real life evil one, the attacker, Satan, the old dude from way back that is out to get you and me and that hates you and me. And he wants to oppress you. If you are a believer, we know that God, that Satan cannot possess you, but he can certainly try to oppress you and to mess you up. And so like David, we could call out to God and say, God, there is an attacker that is oppressing me, whether it's a human being or whether it's spiritual forces that are coming against me. God, I need your help because I can't deal with either one. Verse 2, my enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. He goes back through it again because this isn't just a one-time thing. He's saying the same thing over and over again, isn't he? I got people attacking me. They're coming against me. They're oppressing me. They're doing it all day long. Write it down a couple of times. Say it out loud. Pray it out loud. And get it all out. Don't bottle it all up. Get it out. Write it down. And then he goes on to say this, for many attack me proudly. The way that they're attacking him, the audaciousness of how they're attacking him is bothering him. You know, when you dwell on your problems, you begin to make them bigger than they really are. You begin to imagine what other people's motives are and how they're acting. And you could write down to the tiniest degree, go, I can't believe this person's attacking me or coming against me and saying this. I bet you I know why they're doing that. They probably think this. They probably, and then our minds can go down this endless, infinite highway of daydreaming about why you are under attack or why someone is against you. And all the time, what you need to do is stop and confess your mess. Give it to God. Tell him what you're dealing with. He already knows, but tell him in your own words. And then what do we do next? Well, we don't stay there, right? We confess our mess, but then we control our thoughts. All right? We control our thoughts. So we're going to go ahead and go to verse 3 when he says this, and he's making progress in this situation. He says in verse 3, when I am afraid, which is right now, I'm in a cave, I'm trembling, I'm hiding, they're coming for me from both sides, from the Philistines and from my own people. I'm being attacked from both ways. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Control your thoughts. Capture those thoughts. Change your thinking. So we're seeing this progress, and he's putting him into action, and so he's beginning to go, I got to get a hold of myself, all right? I'm fearful. I'm hiding in a cave. I'm supposed to be the next king, and what have I done? I'm acting like a madman. I've lost my mind over this, and he begins to go, no, that's not the way. That's not what I need to do. When I am afraid, he knows the truth. It's in there. You know the truth, believer. It's in there. You got the truth right here. You got the truth hidden in your heart. But what you're doing maybe is listening to the wrong things, maybe listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself and telling yourself the truth from God's word. And that's what we absolutely need to do. When fear comes knocking on the door, we need to decide to control our thoughts. Where do we get that? He says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Not my trust is already in you. But obviously, it's not in him. It's been transferred onto other things. His trust is in himself and his own abilities to run, to fight, whatever it might be. But he says, no, no, no. I obviously, somewhere along the way, have taken my trust and I've moved it and put my faith in somebody or something else to sustain me and to hold me fast. And what I need to do is change my thinking. I need to control my thoughts and say, no, my faith needs to be in God. I'm going to put my trust in him. I'm going to choose to trust in him, even when circumstances look crazy. When the whole world has gone mad, I'm going to trust in God. And so, how do we do that? Well, you've already written down your confession, right? That you're crying out to God, that you need his help. And now you can pray and put those things in action. Take that list that you write down, place it before God. Philippians chapter 4 says this, do not, here's a command, right? Do not, everybody say it with me, do not, right here in the lobby, got a couple people out hanging here. All right, 1, 2, 3, do not, all right, thank you. Do not be anxious about what? Anything. Come on, you got to be kidding me, pastor. Do not be anxious about anything. Hey, I didn't say it, okay? God did. So do not be anxious about anything. What can you do? But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Oh, are you kidding me right now? Not only do I have to take this list and give it to God in prayer and supplication, but I've got to do it with thanksgiving. No, man, you better control your thoughts. You want to give that list to God and keep the complaining going, but you better cut it out. When you turn that corner and you control your thoughts, you don't give it to God and say, fine, here, take it. Let's see if you could do anything with it. That's not putting your trust in God. You could tell that he's saying, hey, turn the corner here, because take those things, give them to God in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. See the shift in the thinking? That you are going to say, God, I give you this. I'm thankful for what you've given me. I know that you've poured your grace out upon me and I don't deserve it. God, thank you for making me, creating me, giving me the life that I have. And God, I give you these worries and these fears. You take these things and I put my trust in you, actively doing that. And God, I just want to say thank you. And there's a mind shift that happens there. And you let your request be made known to God. You agree with God with what's really happening. And the peace of God, so if you're worried, you're anxious, you're fearful, guess what's going to happen? The peace of God, which is what you want, which surpasses all understanding, all you're trying to figure it out, you and your brainiac self, you know better, you typed up the list of pros and cons, and you know why this person did you wrong, and you got their whole life story figured out, and you've analyzed them and psychoanalyzed them, and it's all their fault, obviously. But you're the one staying up late at night. You're the one dealing with fear and anxiety. You've borrowed the trouble. But the peace of God, which surpasses understanding. God doesn't need your understanding. God doesn't need you to explain it all to him. He's got it all figured out. And what you want is that peace which passes understanding. And that peace will also guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Have we been talking about the heart and mind this morning? Yes, we have. If you've got a heart and a mind that is controlled by fear, man, let the peace of God guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. If you are a believer here, that is available to you. You can do that. You can have that peace and that comfort. If you don't know Jesus yet, and I believe you will. If you don't know Jesus yet, today is the day where you can experience not the peace of God, but peace with God, right? You need peace with God because the Bible says that if you are not a child of God, if you have not been adopted into his family, you're not just cool with God. You're actually at odds with God. You are under God's wrath, and you actually do have something to fear. But God has made a way where you can have peace with him through his son, Jesus Christ. And then, because of that, you can experience the peace of God, which will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So you confess your mess, and then you control your thoughts because you've been given the ability to do that with the word of God. And you take those things in prayer. Let me give you this. Romans chapter 12 says, do not be conformed to this world. Don't be like everybody else around you that's worrying and freaking out and running all over the place and wondering what's going to happen. That's not becoming of a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen? I said amen? Amen. Come on, type an amen in the chat here. I need a little help this morning. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind. You got to control your thoughts, right? You got to think different. that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. It could be that if you've got a fear problem, that what you really got is a mind problem. That you need to be transformed, not by your own self, not pulling up your big boy pants, not reading a good self-help book, but reading this book, amen? That you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how do we as believers have our mind renewed, which we need to do daily? We do that through the Word of God. So you write down, you cry out to God, you place that in front of God, you go to Him in prayer, and you give that to Him. You put your trust in Him. Take the next step. Make some progress. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, Romans chapter 8. If you set your mind on the flesh and what you can do and what's going to happen and what your imagination can concoct and come up with, that's death. That's what the Bible says. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Amen. To set your mind on the things of God, on His Spirit, will bring you life and peace. But if you're wallowing in the pig pen of your problems, it's not going to go good. But if you let your mind be transformed by the power of Christ, then you could capture those thoughts and you could take them captive and you can make them obedient to Christ. And sometimes it's irrational things. One of my kids a few years ago, we had a very memorable dream. And so we had to help her capture her thoughts because she ran into our room in the middle of the night and said, "There's a giant screwdriver attacking me." And so we, of course, ran in to find this giant screwdriver. And to our surprise, it was not there. It was a dream. It was a nightmare, obviously. And it wasn't a reality. But in her mind, in that moment, man, that was the real deal. In that room over there was a giant screwdriver that was trying to get her in some way, some shape, some fashion. And a lot of times what we got to do is say, you know what? Maybe I have a real fear, but I might have a concocted fear. Or maybe I've taken a true concern and blown it out of proportion. And I've made this bigger than me. I've made it bigger than God. And I've let it dominate my life. No longer. Today is the day. We want to squash that fear. We want to push it back down. And we want to give control back over to God and allow Him to control our thoughts and not run down that crazy road. So we're going to confess our mess, right? And we are going to control our thoughts. And last but not least, we are going to confide in God. Our confidence will be not in ourselves, not in other people, not in our circumstances, but our confidence will be in God. Well, where you get that, Pastor John? I'm glad you asked that. Let's go to verse 4. Verse 3 says this, When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. And then he says, in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? I hope you see the progress. The first section we read, right? Crazy town. Monsters under the bed. Second, boom, cave. Calm down. Capture my thoughts. I'm taking a step in the right direction, and I'm deciding to put my trust here. And then, finally, we got some good progress here, which is to confide in God. He says, in God, whose word I praise. All right, he's really turned a corner here because now he's deciding, I'm not listening to my own word. I'm not listening to the word of other people and what they say. I'm going to God's word, and it's His word that I praise. I just, light bulb moment right here, right? I have remembered that my fear does not have to overcome me because I've got God's word, and I've memorized it, and I hid it in my heart, and it should control my thinking and my actions and my thoughts and my heart and the direction of my life. And so in God, whose word I praise, so I've taken the attention off of myself, right? Which what we need to do is not think less of ourselves, but think of ourselves less. Got that? Figure that out? We need to think of ourselves less often and put our eyes on God, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust. So he's gone from, I'm going to put my trust in God, and now he's just saying it, whether he believes it or not, and saying, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. So you notice that he's moved, because earlier on he said, when I am afraid, I'll put my trust in God. And now he's saying, my trust is in God, I shall not be afraid. And I hope that that's the point that you're going to reach either today, tomorrow, this week, in this sermon series, that you're going to see that God, one by one, is going to alleviate your fears. He's going to take the air out of those things and deflate those and realize that those were all just full of hot air and not realities. And the things that are our true concern, he could help you to frame those in the right way. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. And he finishes out today's verse with this. What can flesh do to me? Let's be real. What can flesh do to me? What can man do to me? Jesus has an answer for that. Because Jesus is talking to some folks here in the New Testament. And he says, so have no fear of them. Have no fear of those guys, right? For nothing is covered that will not be revealed. The truth is going to come out. The truth about the situation, it will be revealed eventually. There's nothing hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him, God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not. Therefore, why? Because you are more value than many sparrows. Jesus is saying, hey, don't fear those who could kill your body. You might say, well, you don't realize how bad I got it. I am so fearful. I'm afraid of dying. Hey, you know what? We're all going to die. And it's nothing to be afraid of. Because we trust in a God that has made our body and our soul. And we know that we are people who are created for eternity. Our souls will live forever. And so what a good process for us to do is to think through our fears logically and say, what's the logical outcome of this? What's the worst that could happen? I could die. Okay. I dealt with that. I put my trust in God. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? Let's just say they find me here in this cave. I'm hiding out. I got a little praise party going now, right? I went from a pity party to a praise party. I was down and out, and now I'm praising God and trusting in him, and I've just decided that I'm going to put my trust in him, and I will not be afraid. If these guys show up, I die. If not, God's promises are fulfilled, and we know that God is faithful to keep all of his promises. He always has, always will. And so we've gone from confessing our mess to controlling our thoughts to confiding in God no matter what. In God whose word I praise, not the word of man. In God I trust, not putting my trust in anything else in this world because it will fall apart, whether it's your government, whether it's relationships, whether it's finances, none of those things will last forever. But God's word will last forever. That's why we praise in his word. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. Type it in the chat. Let's go old school English here. Anybody use the word shall this past week? You will today, all right? Type it in the chat. I shall not be afraid. S-H-A-L-L, if you don't know how to spell shall. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? Let me encourage you to do this. As he's talking about the word of God, I want you to see what I got here. Just some notes from Psalm 56 that me and my family are using. They're kind of, I got them all scribbled up here. because me and my family have printed these off and we've given them out to everybody in the family, and we're memorizing this together. And we really want to invite your family to join our family in not only praising the Word of God, but also valuing it so much that we will make every attempt to commit it to memory, to hide it in our heart like we are commanded to. And so let me encourage you day by day to face your fears with something this simple like the Word of God. I sent you an email this morning. If you did not get that email, we don't have your email address. So we need it, all right, for you, not for us, for you, because we want to keep you in the loop with what's happening. So reach out to us, send us an email, fill out a digital connection card today, and give us your email so that you can get on that list, so that you can get documents like this that will help you as you face your fears. Do me a favor, by the end of this sermon series, by the end of November, join me and my family in memorizing 13 Bible verses that will help you face your fear. So when the fear comes, you'll know what to do, all right? Confess your mess. Write that stuff down. Get it out. Tell God what's going on. And then next, control your thoughts by taking that list, praying, and giving it to God with thanksgiving. And then last but not least, confide in God. Just say, God, I give all that to you. And I am now saying, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. I'm going to go to your word, and I'm going to praise that word. I'm going to memorize that word. And I believe that if you'll take those steps, that right away you will see the fear and the anxiety that's melting your heart begin to slide away. Not because of anything Pastor John is able to do, but because of what a powerful and mighty and loving God wants to do in your life. He knows every hair that is on your head. He knows every sparrow that's flying in the air. And you are way more valuable than many sparrows, is what Jesus said. If you don't know Jesus, he loves you. He wants to know you today. Man, we have people standing by that would love to talk to you about what it looks like to have a relationship with Jesus. All you have to do, if you're on Church Online, hit that Salvation Moment button, and somebody will engage with you, chat with you, and help you talk through that. If you're on Facebook or on YouTube, you could reach out to us through a connection card or in the chat, and we have hosts there as well that are standing by, part of your church family, to guide you through your thinking, to know how to know Jesus, to have your sins forgiven, to be washed white as snow, to be made clean and new, and be in a relationship with the God of the universe. He is standing by waiting to talk to you, I guarantee it. Let me pray for you. Lord, thank you for the peace of God that guards our hearts and our minds, and right now we give our worries and our fears to you. Lord, thank you for the Psalms so that we could see how David was fearful and then how he thought rightly about these things and how he turned his fear over to you. And God, I pray that we could follow your word and we could do that same thing. And Lord, that you would give us victory, that we could live lives of victory and power because of your word and because of the transforming of our minds. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And God's people, type in the chat one last time, amen.